Welcome back to Reality NSFW coverage of the challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies. I'm Johnny Fairplay. I'm joined by Lauren Pratt, Alex Trias, and Matt the Beard Bischoff. And we're talking a one-hour episode of the challenge tonight. Did not see that coming. I was like, I saw the credits at the bottom, and I'm just like, is this like they used to do back when Monday Night Raw used to kind of cheat in the ratings, and they, the first show was Monday Night Raw, and the second hour was Raw is War, just to get like double the ratings somehow to manipulate the system. But no. After the credits and the next time on the challenge, I saw Snooki talking about diarrhea. So I knew that it was 1 hour and only 1 hour.
Honestly, I feel like the audience all feels like Amber tonight. Like we're just blindsided. And I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time to the point where people are going to fall asleep. Because of how much we're talking about how blindsided we are.
Maybe we should mention a few times. So this was a one-hour episode. I did not see that coming. I like this episode. I mean, I like there. You know, it was, you know, of course, shorter than the 90-minute format that we're used to. However, like I liked what I saw.
Yeah. I did too. First of all, I was caught off guard by the 1 hour thing.
You should mention it.
Yes, I was fucking blindsided, but I actually preferred the 1 hour. Sometimes with shows, I tend to zone out. I'm like, fuck, 90, especially when we're podcasting. I'm like, fuck, I got to remember all this shit that happened in 90 minutes. And it's not like I have a love for the challenge like I have a love and passion for Survivor, right? This, I'm a newbie when it comes to this, but I think tonight for me personally, that 1 hour hit the sweet spot because I was entertained. I mean, the challenge before we went on air, I was talking to Alex and Lauren about the challenge itself was, although drift cars, et cetera, are cool. That was kind of a little, I like the dynamics of the characters, relationships and the drama and the bouncer dudes coming in. And then I liked all that shit.
That's just cool. I think 75 minutes would be the sweet spot for the challenge because there's always that, not always. I mean, sometimes there's some good stuff, but like from the morning after the club till we go to the lair, like sometimes the deliberations can be fun, you know, with Huey exploding and Fessy saying something dumb. But for the most part, those are kind of boring. And then just the agency not really revealing who they're picking because you want the drama of the reveal at the lair. I feel like there's typically a stagnant 15-minute stretch there. Mm-hmm. The 15 minutes of the lair I want, and I was really disappointed that we didn't get, especially seeing what's coming up next week.
Yeah. I know. And like to start off an episode, basically, like I'm assuming that's going to be the first half of the episode is the aftermath of this fight and then deliberation and that elimination.
Do you think next week is just another hour?
No, I think it's going to be the standard normally. We see every season there's typically at least one-hour episode, and then the rest are all the 90 minutes. So they just blindsided us all, right? Like none of us.
So the next episode will be the greatest episode this season, like bar none. Has to be.
So are you saying the next episode is going to be lair, then a new challenge, then a new agency, then another lair, and then another, so two eliminations in one episode?
Eventually, yes. They'll catch up where you're going to have two eliminations in the same episode. So I'm hoping it's next week because that will be an epic episode. So they must be just saving some gold for us.
Yeah, but why two eliminations if one of the two eliminations is a hall brawl?
Well, I mean, what I'm thinking is usually, and this is just me trying to put like a production hat on here for them. It's like, if they feel whatever happens after this or whatever the next round or next two rounds is more inconsequential, they feel like, oh, let us get it built up. We get that crescendo of the push.
We have the
aftermath next week. And then like we flip-flop through it. And by the end of two episodes from now, we'll have two eliminations bunked together because it's like inconsequential characters. And then we're back on track.
But Is there a possibility the beginning of the episode next week begins with, I mean, TJ shows up at the house. I mean, let's fast forward to the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
The preview for next week, TJ shows up and says, hey, you know, it ain't good that I'm here. y'all, it's like when Jeff Probst shows up at the island. It ain't good news. Mm-hmm. And does TJ show up and say, hey, Fessy, you facepalm Josh, you're out of here.
Yeah, it's very possible.
And then we get the hall brawl, and it's like, well, would have been cool if we had Fessy in a hall brawl, because that's what we paid our money to see, but we ain't going to get that because he's already been removed from the house.
Well, I think we could see a couple different scenarios with next week. We could have TJ coming in, giving his warning, which he does on some seasons where he says, this is it, final warning. If something else happens, you're done. Or we could see Fessy being let go. Or both of them, both Fessy and Josh, gone.
See, I feel the warning has already happened. Like, they're probably going to use the, like, Corey shoving
the Corey Huey thing. That was the warning.
Like, it wasn't just the warning for Corey. It was the warning for everyone. Because TJ was very, like, he wanted to, like, make a statement out of Corey. Be like, hey, you can't put hands on one another. I don't respect that.
We don't do that here. Leave.
Yeah, you don't do that.
As in the collective. Yeah. The royal we, not just you.
Exactly. Like, I think that was more so a statement to the people remaining in the game and not so much to Corey, but It was to Corey.
I mean,
I would personally, I understand that there shouldn't be the fighting and stuff like that. And I thought it was really lame for Fessy to like push Josh. I would rather see them battle it out in some shit versus
a fucking hall brawl.
Yeah, I would. Maybe he comes and is like, makes them do that shit. And
maybe he shows up and is just like, look, man, there's only you guys can't get along. This is obvious. There's only one way to sell this. Let's go to the fucking hall
brawl. In the sand. Right, let's now. Do it.
There's a first for everything. You never know, but I don't think it's coming.
The fact that we saw TJ show up at the house, the fact that we saw the tease of the hall brawl, but no one's face. Like, I feel that as a viewer with Fessy on this cast, we were kind of promised a Fessy hall brawl. And so they're just like, it ain't happening. like we're gonna tease it for all it's fucking worth, but you ain't gonna see it, and we're sorry. So I don't know, man. As I said, TJ's so cool. I mean, like, I understand that he's against the fighting, and I'm against the fighting too. Even though it makes good TV. I mean, I want him to say there's only one way we can sit. Like, fuck deliberation. Sorry, agency. Let's go.
I would like to see that. I think that'd be more entertaining.
Oh, fuck. I want to see.
The more entertaining, but they're like.
Yeah. And even if you don't like Fessy, Fessy in a hall brawl is something's fucking spectacular. It's like once again, to wrestling. Like, there's a lot of people that don't like Brock Lesnar, but Brock Lesnar just beating the shit out of somebody, I think is pretty fucking cool.
It's one of the most entertaining things to watch.
Ever. I mean, because he's just like, oh, like, you can tell guys he likes. I mean, it looks amazing, but like, he's like, you know, I ran into AJ Styles after a Brock Lesnar match. I'm like, dude, he goes, dude, it's one of the easiest. He goes, if Brock likes you, he takes care of you. But you also see guys that he might not like that much. It's like, oh, he doesn't like him. So I want, like, as I said, I don't care what you think about Fessy. Watching Fessy in a hall brawl is just like, oh man, I don't think Fessy likes that person. And sometimes it's his friend. I mean, like, probably one of his best friends last season was Nelson. Threw him into the hall brawl, fucking eye poked him and fucking every fucking cheap thing in the world and fucking hurt him.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, it would be the right call if you're like doing it on the spot, deciding what to do, to be like, hey, you had to go into elimination, then the house decides the house vote, and then that's what happens. They go in, do all that shit. But I just, like, it feels, especially if Fessy goes, it feels so like unsatisfying because it's not even Fessy's fault. Because he didn't initiate the overall argument that led to the fight.
Yeah.
He was trying
to. That was all Tori.
Fuck Tori. Oh, yeah. He was stirring the pot hardcore tonight. And that's the thing. Josh didn't even need to be brought into any of this, but they're like, let's go get Josh. He's going to get all riled up. And that's exactly what happened. And
Devin's just like, where's the tranquilizers? Where's the bats?
We have to knock them out. So great. Barricade the door. Just barricade the door. There's no good will come of this.
Yeah, because, I mean, isn't this like super late at night after everyone's hammered?
Everyone's been drinking.
That's the thing, man. Like, you add alcohol into the scenario. Yeah, like pizza. I imagine if, like,
Thank you, Alex. You're correct. There was pizza involved. And people love pizza. But especially after alcohol.
But drunk people, man, I in a reality competition show like this, people make bad decisions. I mean,
my advice to anyone going on a reality show, like, is just like, if there's alcohol, it is not to your advantage, you know. And we have, we're doing the final tribe cast assessment after this podcast. Go back and check, youtube.com/realitynsfw. And, we're going live, a few minutes after we conclude here. And we have, Davey Rickenbacker, who got hammered on David versus Clay. He's like, what was it? I got an octopus. Or so, but like, I don't know that he necessarily made a mistake, but we've seen people make mistakes. You know, you loose lips sink ships, and you know, alcohol is a lubricant. You're fucked. So as I said, my advice, especially on Survivor, you're so fucking malnourished. I'm just like, you know, that might be what you're craving, but I mean,
it would be hard to turn down. Like, if you were on Survivor at a reward, I remember Godfather Carl getting wasted.
Godfather Carl. So, but I mean, I think if they're giving you one beer, you're not throwing away $1 million for a beer.
No.
But if they're feeding you booze, and on a lot of these challenges, they are purposely feeding you booze. They want you to fuck up. They want there to be drama. They want someone to say something they shouldn't say. And, you know, for those of you going out there on a future season, just a heads up, I don't think 4 glasses of wine is worth $1 million. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's some chateau somewhere that they have that price tag on it, but I don't think that whoever's going out there to play Survivor has that budget to buy a $1 million bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great points that you gave as a competitor. Like, if you're a competitor on these shows, definitely you shouldn't drink.
Yeah.
If you want to bring it fucking entertainment, though.
Oh, yeah, please.
I want you to get fucking wasted. I want you yelling at the fucking wall because you think there's someone that is the wall and just punch it. Like,
I
just want... I want that. Like, so in this sense, even though it didn't come how I wanted it to happen, I love the fight because this is old school challenge. I love it and I need it.
Here we go. Thank you, Christina O'Carroll, with a little insight from the Tori show, in which Tori's explaining how she was the mastermind behind everything. Amber said she was actually outside trying to get another pizza from production, and then Tori called her over from outside to start the drama. All right. Good for you, Tori.
Like, yeah, and then the other people in the house, like Corey, like, were egging it on. And I get it. They're bored.
They're bored. Corey was great. I mean, like, I want more Corey, because this Corey has been awesome. I mean, you know, he's fucking posing during the fucking, what was it called? What's the name of the daily? What was it?
Turning agents.
So he was posing on while drifting, and then tonight he's just like, dude, we're just fucking bored, man. Come on, give us something, give us some entertainment. And I'm just like, I'm with Corey. Mm-hmm. So good stuff there. So so let's go back. Let's start at the beginning. Previously on the challenge, we are down and dirty with Kyle. So, yeah. It was what it was, but I like Kyle. That's about the only airtime we really got from Kyle. Except did his combination lock just break off and he didn't?
That's what I saw.
I think that's what happened.
I think he just broke it off.
Yeah, and they showed it. Like, you feel like production wouldn't show that.
I think they didn't care because they knew he didn't win.
That's true.
Yeah, but don't show your shit falling apart though.
I think that's more them thinking like, oh, people are going to be looking at that, and be like, hey, look how stupid Kyle is. He just broke the lock off. I don't know.
Anyway, so not a lot of Kyle this episode. I love Kyle. I like seeing Kyle in the thick of a fight. So, and I didn't feel like he was.
He was playing pool, I think.
Yeah, I think he came in a little later. So, they get back into the house, and Logan is celebrating his victory, and Ed walks up and goes, "Did you hear me?" And Logan's like, "No," and Ed goes, "Yeah, I was yelling, hell yeah."
I love Ed.
Dude, I think I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum there on Ed.
It's all good.
You don't like Ed? What the
heck? I don't
think
so. I don't think I do.
I feel like Ed's our replacement for Gabo now, for just stupid comments.
Oh, no. Well, then Ed is a poor man's Gabo.
I mean, yeah.
Low budget Gabo. Here's Ed. Like Ed showing up at like fucking like local fairs and carnivals, you know, like the state fair gets Gabo, like the local, they're like, we got Gabo. And then you get there, it's just like, hey, I'm Ed. And it's like, it's supposed to be Gabo. Yeah. You know?
Well, it's like, you can't beat praying to Mike the situation. So, you know, it was only going to be downhill.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I prayed to Mike the situation that I was not watching Snooki after 1 hour and that the fucking hall brawl is coming up. But
we don't get what we want.
That's just me. So we are reminded of the fact that Huey and Emmy are a rookie pair, or as Devin calls them, the R&Rs. That's why Devin, why can't you say rookie? I mean, it's like I honestly feel like it takes more effort to say R&R than rookie.
Because of Devin. R&R. Devin's fantastic. I don't really, anything Devin says is great, and I don't even care what it is. It could be completely in the wrong, and it's just funny.
Well,
no,
this
matter
is
what
in the
does.
Wrong. Like, I like to call them R&Rs. Do you? Like, why?
And there's no reasoning behind it, but because he's the one that says it, if someone else on the show said what he said, it wouldn't be funny.
Oh, I would hate
that.
Well,
and no one does say that. It's
for good reason. No one else says it. So, Huey is whining and complaining, and Big T's just like, look, you never know what's gonna happen. Some shit can go down. You know, we drink every 3 days. So, you know, she didn't say that, but she didn't need to. Emmy, of course, goes to Uncle CT for reassurance, and do we like CT in the role of uncle? I mean, I know back in the day he was just, you know, just the dude, and then he was the stud, and then he was dad bod CT, and now he's back to the stud. But apparently stud has morphed into uncle.
So like, I don't know how old Emmy is, but it's like sort of weird to hear him be viewed as an uncle, because it's like, for most of these people, he's not even 10 years older than them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, uncle CT, you're only, I'm 20 and you're 30. You're my uncle now. but I love her to be hissing. Like, I want my fifth partner.
Yeah, someone's mic is hissing a little bit. Okay. Matt claims it's not him, so we'll see.
My headphones sound clear.
Whoever just turned down, it was them. So who is that?
It might have been me.
Okay. All right.
We're blaming Lauren this week, folks.
I'm blamed for everything now. It's okay.
You're good. We'll get you right. So next we have some quick snapshots of Yoga Ashley, Millionaire Mitchell. I saw that on her Instagram earlier today. I liked it. And I liked all the other poses that we got to see of Ashley doing yoga just randomly. I'm for it. Keep it up. So
we're a pro yoga podcast here.
I don't know about yoga.
Well, the people that are doing the yoga.
I don't know about people doing yoga. I feel so. Next, Esther tells Josh to squash it, only to be followed by Amanda telling Fessy to squash it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we have words of wisdom being spread throughout. But this is only to be followed by Fessy feels like he has to keep apologizing. Fessy, welcome to the club. We all feel like you need to keep apologizing.
It's just funny because, like, you can tell he thinks that legitimately, and how he talks about it. He's like, he just can't see what's going on. I'm like, yeah, because no one else is seeing it from your perspective, Fessy. Your perspective is flawed. It's just
I feel like his perspective is congruent with Casey's, because, you know, you hear Casey talking with Nani later, and she's just like, you know, Josh is, you know, supposedly for the alliance and all that, but he's making moves for him and not for us. And I feel like us is Casey and Fessy, and not Josh.
But, like, what I find, I think both of them have flawed logic, because they're saying they want to get rid of Amber because they don't like Amber. It's not, yeah. Josh. What they don't see is Josh is feeling like, you guys don't trust me to control my partner or control someone who's aligned with me to not go after you. And then, like, obviously that hits his ego, and he's going to be insulted by that, because you're his friends. You should support him and believe in what he can do. So it's like both sides are right and both sides are wrong at the same time.
Well, they need to tell Josh they don't like Amber. I think that's the problem. I think they've sugarcoated it with Josh.
Yeah.
So if they just don't, I mean, like, I feel like they're trying to be diplomatic in that they're just like, look, you know, we don't know if she's going to fire back, because the last time, you know, like, you know, there's all these variables. We have to keep that in mind. Maybe we should shoot before she, you know, is like, I can control you. But I think in reality, they're just like, we don't like her, but they don't want to just say we don't like her. Because I think as a viewer, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think if you paid attention to everything tonight, I don't think anyone likes Amber B.
No, and that's what it's like. The Casey confessional was saying, like, oh, like, I have power. That's great. We can go after rookies, but someone's going to be taking the first shot. And at first, I was like, someone did take the first shot. You went at Amber. But it's like what Fessy was saying, and he said it on one of the after shows, I think. It was like every single veteran knew about this except Amber. So it was like everyone was on board.
And we were told that tonight on the show, that everyone knew but her.
Yeah.
So if you factor in that piece of evidence, you know, what Esther and Berna were saying, and even Big T, who I think likes everyone. I'm sorry, I love Amber B, and maybe I'm seeing things through rose-colored glasses, or seeing, just envisioning the. If you guys, you know, jump on Reddit and type in Amber B, trust me, it's it's worth it.
I think so far, in comparison to last season, I preferred Amber B on her last season. This season, I'm just not getting much from her, because she's so repetitive with the way that she feels, and it's taking over the storyline, and it's not giving us what we want as a viewer necessarily. I do think everyone should be going to Josh and saying, look, she's just not in the Big Brother alliance. And I think that would, you know, have eased some things on Josh's perspective versus him dealing with the aftermath with Amber B. Yeah.
But Lauren, Amber was blindsided.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but she was blindsided not just last season, but this season. They didn't have the balls to tell her to her face she was going in.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Either time. She's a winner. Own it. Get in. Everyone's gonna eventually go in, most likely.
I don't know. Is CT gonna go in? I don't think so.
Most likely, though. And my thing about it is, you won the season. People are gonna target you, of course. They don't want you to win again. But I get it. Like, CT is someone where I wouldn't want to go against CT, and I guarantee most of the guys don't. But Amber B, you might be able to go against her, because she. It, depending on what the elimination is, you could beat her. It just depends what it is. CT is an animal.
You know what? And I think you pounded the nail on the head with why Casey has her feelings against Amber. She saw how Amber competed in the final. Like, she was already felt like Amber was on the low end of their Big Brother lines to begin with. Then she sees her run and just completely kick ass with a good partner. why would I want her there at the end again?
Yeah. So no, she's I think she proved her might last season. So next we have date night, flowers, strawberries, and champagne from Casey Denani. Why can't I find a nice girl to treat me to flowers, strawberries, and champagne?
Maybe you'll meet her in Louisville.
I just want the strawberries, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. Ashley was saying she's so lonely, you know, like
I was ready to cure that.
Did you not message her right then and there?
I didn't. I should have. I have her number. Anyway, next we see which I thought would, you know, potentially not be addressed or noticed by anyone else. Josh and Esther hook up.
I know, and so he was saying it's like really hard to like basically bang in the house because there's always people around.
Yeah.
So they showed him kind of, you know, doing a little something, something. But do you foresee that there was a lot more that went down that we did not see or no?
I don't think so. I think more happens later, but I think what we saw was what happened right there.
Okay. Gotcha. It seemed like it wanted to go a little further.
Yeah.
She would seem like she was like, you know.
This is the first time Josh has hooked up in the house, right?
This house.
Yeah.
In his earlier seasons, he did hook up with someone as well.
How did that work?
Hey, they're great friends.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but you know what? Good on Josh. Like Josh has been getting in better shape. He's probably
I think he looks the best he's ever looked.
I feel like he has to be getting more confidence in himself too. And he's someone who's like just because of how out there he is. I feel like that could be an attractive trait in someone, especially for the stuff that we don't see. That's like more just like them just living at the house. I'm sure he's like, you guys have said all the time, just how great of a guy he is in person when the cameras are off. Like, I'm sure that's what they see.
Yeah. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's a good dude. So, and I think you see that in his emotional outbursts as well, but I feel like, well, I thought up until tonight he was doing it for the forces of good, but it appears as though Amber B's not good. It's so weird.
Yeah. So but that's the challenge for you, and that's why I love it.
Yeah. Speaking of the actual house, I was asked by one of our incredible podcast viewers to please point out that their house looks like it was designed to look like a horny futuristic dojo in the middle of an abandoned air hangar, abandoned vineyard.
I did not get that impression, but a great take.
I think it is. I'm for it. So next is our daily turning agents and TJ, just to remind us once again how he's one of the coolest hosts in the history of anything being hosted. Today is going to be sick. So sick. Badass drift cars.
Yeah. Yeah. The badass drift cars are sweet. And I was like, man, he's standing there and those cars like fly by him. You know what I mean?
It's no way.
He's trusting those drivers. Yeah. That's BMXers for you. You know, it's like, I went to Travis Pastrana's house. If you don't know Travis Pastrana, Nitro Circus, he's a famous motocross guy. And when we went to his house, it popped up on my Facebook memories. You have to sign a waiver when you go to his house, basically saying, I could fucking die at your house type thing. And we got into some wild shit and we just fucking had a blast. And that's what a lot of like BMXers, action sports people aren't afraid of that shit. I would be scared shitless if two fucking cars went flying by me at 100 miles an hour. But yeah, it just proves like Johnny was saying that TJ is a badass host. It just makes it fun and cool. And this challenge, although I'm all about drift cars and stuff, I found myself kind of just like petting my dog and zoning out. It seemed a little repetitive, like in this challenge for me.
I think it was, they could have brought a tilt-a-whirl from a carnival and set it like right in between the tractor trailers or whatever, and it would have been the same difference. I felt like there was no danger of them being thrown from the car, obviously.
Nah.
You know, and I mean, like, I think, like, so the only real challenge to this was the dizziness. And instead, just put them in a, just leave a tilt-a-whirl on until they solve their deal. And I think you see people puking. I think it'd be fucking, I mean, because like tilt-a-whirl is my favorite fucking ride when I was a little kid. And now I have two daughters and they're just like, let's ride this. And I'm just like, oh my God, I am ready to throw up just looking at it at this point. Yeah. So, and then when I ride it, I'm really ready to throw up.
But do you think that my thing would be, production was probably like, man, going around these fast cars is going to make them more fearful. You know, like no one just seemed real scared of this. Like when Huey's upside down, like 30 foot high, yeah, get, like that's scary. Like, oh shit, I could fall at it, or I got to jump off this cliff. I think maybe they were expecting more fear in the minds of these contestants.
I think on paper, this sounded more dangerous. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, yeah, dude, it's going to be badass. Like, these cars are going to come. Like, first they're going to race past TJ. Then they're going to fucking do circuit. They're going to be like, oh, my God, it's going to fucking throw me off. It's going to fucking kill me. And then, like, they're just like, oh, cool, we're good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and honestly, my only, like, true complaint about this was the length of time of a 60-minute episode we spent on this, because it went through at least two ad breaks, and, like, you didn't really need it. Like, you really just needed to give time for the first two rounds that had Josh and Ashley winning and Casey and Manuel. Speed through the rest of them, because I don't really care. Because yeah, if you guys don't care, I'm not going to care. So just get through it. Get us our winners so that we can get more drama.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, I don't care if this is an 8-way tie. I guarantee two or three teams were up at the top. Mm-hmm. So fuck the other five that are right there. I don't care.
Right.
Yeah, they normally show a round or two or so, then clip to the music and then
yeah,
for everyone else. This one just dragged on and on. I think the biggest issue for me was, as a contestant out there, really sick, super cool to do, but as a viewer, I don't need to see people spinning around in a circle, as Alex said, through two ad breaks. I don't need to watch
that. And it might have been really cool to do, but not like cool, like, oh my God, like you wouldn't believe it. It was just like, oh, it was fun.
Well, according to Berna, she made it sound like, oh, couldn't believe I got to do this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Berna plays with like a stick and a wheel, and is like, oh, look at it, it's going fat. Look at it, it's gonna go to the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, that was part of their clown college. You know.
Well, there you go.
When she was learning, circus.
Majoring in circus. Yeah.
So Johnny, I feel like because you're a big Corey fan, you must have loved when he was talking to the driver and be like, okay, so instead of doing donuts, you're gonna like just put it on park.
Yeah,
for like five seconds, and then you can go.
Yeah, and the guy's like, I'm gonna just turn the car off, dude. He's like, yes, like that, boom. We're feeling each other.
Compatible right now.
For 2 seconds with her laugh, the only screen time really that she got in the episode.
Yeah.
She's just kind of useless. Her and Priscilla both could go, in my opinion, because they just have not brought anything to the table for us. So
the future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, yeah. So, Emmanuel says he's not scared. Do you guys follow Emmanuel on his Instagram?
I do not.
Mm-mm. Holy moly. He was on some show in, where's he from? Spain?
No, I think Romania.
Romania. Okay, wherever he's from, they had this crazy show, and like it seemed to be like a big, like, you know, almost like an America's Got Talent or, you know, something crazy. Anyway, but it's more whatever. Mm-hmm. So there was like a high dive thing, and he dove off and did like 8 flips in the air and then like landed perfectly in the water, and it like everyone like shit themselves.
So he must be like a competition diver or something like that.
A badass. That's why Devin's scared of him.
Yeah, that's why I like he might not be like I mean he might like, I think Alex might have it. He might just be a badass. Mm-hmm. So but I mean like check out his Instagram. It's a really awesome Instagram anyway, but it's just like holy shit. I mean like it's some fucking like you're watching it was a fucking triple Lindy from fucking mm-hmm. Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield style.
Yeah.
So we find out that our top 3 teams are Josh Nashley, Casey, and Emmanuel, Esther, and Fessy. But the agency is Casey and Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what was a very weird comment after that? Casey. We all know Casey. We've seen her on Big Brother. We've seen her on Challenge. You know what to expect of Casey. Cue Tori saying, Casey is one of the most unpredictable challengers ever.
Yeah.
What?
I feel like the word methodical is the word you're looking for.
I feel straightforward. Risk averse.
Literally. So I don't know what Tori's talking about. Tori must be just talking about herself because that's her.
Yeah. I don't know. But with that, take a word from our sponsor.
Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now, listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed. Shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4,000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4,000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear. Use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand-in-hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. And we're back. During the break, I actually had to pee, and I have a balcony right here on the other side of my studio, and so I peed off my back. Well, I thought I was peeing off the balcony. You know those strips of wood that go in between the entire pee hit that strip, and I'm just like, what the? Oh my God.
Why am I not surprised?
I'm like, yeah. Oh, I mean,
it happens.
Mistakes are made.
I practice aiming every snow. I don't understand. I guess, you know what? We're due. It's you know, it's still 90 degrees where I am. And so I'm just out of sync. So come on fall, come on winter. Let me get my, my pee accuracy back to its elite status that it belongs. All right. So it's a foregone conclusion, as long as nothing happens after the club, that that the R&R team is going to be voted in by near unanimous decision during the deliberation. So we're hearing the potential candidates that Emmanuel and Casey can nominate, and we learned that Priscilla is the silent assassin. She is also a silent edit.
I was about to say, I'm like, she gets some confessionals. So, like, she gets more than, like, Bettina and Jeremiah, but really, that's it.
That's it. Other than that, she's bottom three.
Totally.
Yeah. So, I did love Huey going to Emmy after and be like, wasn't I such a good partner?
Yeah, no, he's like, and then he's like, I didn't try. There was no point in trying.
We have to go down there so we can lose and get my best partner.
We have to lose. Oh my God. Be warned, everyone. It looks like the reality NSFW umbrella might start coverage of TLC shows, including 90 Day Fiance, and I have a British gentleman that would like to spearhead that journey, and be forewarned. I in most conversations I have with said gentleman, I reply with, huh? as eloquently as I can. So, yeah. So it is now dress up time for the club, and Emmy chooses to seek advice from Ashley and Amanda. And if you're looking for anyone to get advice from in that house, I suggest those two. Absolutely. Positively. I did like that Ashley wore the dress for her confessionals first, you know, just to kind of give you a, you know, this is what it could look like. But there's other ways to wear it, apparently. And I guess as big news this week in the world of the challenge, Amanda and Fessy posting some pics. They're an item after the challenge.
Wow. So, for now.
Which is kind of strange because we heard rumor and innuendo of Michelle and Fessy visiting each other's hometowns immediately after the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe there's some beef there.
I would you love Amanda and Michelle beef on a future? They did an Insta.
I feel like it's something where like Amanda's making it a thing just because at the moment just to be Amanda. Yeah. Like I think underlying it all, it's like for her, it's going to be like, it's not that deep. And I think the same thing with Michelle. Like, I think really Michelle watched like one of the lives, but really I think for both of them, it's going to be like, eh.
Yeah. But I would love an Amanda Michelle rivalry.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll get one season. You never know. I do want to know, what is everyone's predictions with how long Amanda and Fessy are going to last?
To the next airing.
How much time do we have left in this podcast? can I place my bet on that?
Well, I mean, like that gives Fessy enough time to DM like five of his exes. So,
sweet, there we go. Does he get return dates, or is he kind of a? I feel like he's more of a one and done.
I don't know. It's like he dated the one girl that he met in BB for a while. This is like now what, his second or third chance with Amanda? We'll see.
Okay. Him and Tori were one and done, so I mean.
Yeah.
That's true. For the record, Tori goes for everyone, so that says something.
Alex, as you guys have figured out, is not the biggest Tori fan.
No, okay. I love Tori as a character. I just like I have to have my beef with someone.
Okay, so you just picked Tori. Well, you're just like, let me pick a podcast rival. We're going to fucking Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony this shit.
No, my issue is with Vanessa. Tori's just like transitive property right now.
Okay, fair enough. I'm with you there.
So did you guys know that Emmy was a singer?
No.
Yeah, apparently I just looked that up because I guess she was like it says she was a rapper. She was maybe, you know, even before she went on Survivor, maybe she was discovered.
Through social media.
A Romanian rapper who broke out on X Factor Romania and later made it onto Survivor Romania.
Oh, wow. X Factor. That's a big show.
Yeah, I liked her. I thought she looked great in the red dress. And I think it was cool that she's got a song called Alien, I guess it was. And everyone that was there was like, man, I'm digging this shit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Fessy talking and it's just like, I mean, the kids are going to be hyped. I'm just like, stop. Like, I think there's a reason we don't get a lot of Fessy confessionals. He's not good.
No, he's not good.
And I feel like that's what it would be like to date him.
I know that's why
just kind of.
Why does everyone go for him? I just don't understand it. Like,
look at him. I mean, the guy's a look at him apart. But
okay, but and me personally, like, I know you're saying like, look at him. That's like, I don't know. I guess for me, I just don't go for that. But I go for personality, and he has no personality.
My wife would look one at Fessy and be like, that fucking guy is a douche and never.
No, Fessy grows out his hair. He's fucking Jason Momoa. And she's like, all about it.
Like, well, Johnny, that's the case.
Like, people get their initial look before he says anything. You just look at him and like to do comparisons. Like you said, like he looks like a Jason Momoa type, a The Rock type. Like he's just this big jack dude. But then you talk to him and he's like, oh, charisma vacuum.
Yeah. No, his confessionals are very telling. So.
But like, I do want to say, like MTV, I give them like some credit where credit's due. They didn't need to put her song on, like her official song on there, because they it just like came out this week, but they put it, the actual version of the song, not her drunkenly singing it,
yeah,
onto the show, put it down in the little header. It's like, good on them.
Yeah. No, very good.
Finally, they're promoting music for once and not just television shows.
It was obviously an accident, Matt. they had no idea. They're like, this is a song?
Yeah.
But like, honestly,
song?
What is music? What is this music thing we're talking about?
What's this M in our MTV? But it's like, it has to say something that they must like Emmy, because they don't need to put her song on.
Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, like, they didn't even have to show that. I mean, like, they could have shown her poorly singing a cappella, you know, before being sent home. And it's just like, you know, like, look, this is sad. Guess what? It gets even sadder. She gets her ass kicked. Amber B. whoops her in a fucking...
yeah, and another hall role.
But I do like that they kind of introduced and brought that piece of her, because it was like news to me. I'm like, oh wow,
yeah, she's very likable. I mean, I what was it like episode that elimination turned the tide for me as a viewer, and I don't think I'm in the minority on that. Like I think she came. I mean, coming after my Survivor people, go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. You're a Survivor.
Right.
What are you doing? Yeah. So, but no, X Factor. That's my friend Julia Bullock. She was on X Factor. She did a cover of Pumped Up Kicks, and her roommate. I think her roommate was Gene Simmons' daughter in the house. And I might have combined two stories, but I think that's the case. Right. And anyway, she now has a band called the Foxies. Which, you know, like Rolling Stone did a story about, like, check out the Foxies on Instagram. They're amazing. That's my friend Julia from a TV show called Ghost Trek that I did.
Cool. Right on.
X Factor was big.
Yeah. But like with Emmy, honestly, what I like about her is it's very back and forth with her. There's one week where I'm like sympathetic to her. There's another one I'm like, oh, she's the most annoying piece of like shit I've seen. But it's like,
Alex working stiff.
No, but it's like, it's good, because when the challenge is great, when reality TV is great, is when you flesh out characters, especially new characters.
Yeah, and, a character isn't a one-dimensional cardboard cutout like the Jeff Probst stand-up behind me. There are layers.
Yeah, but it's like you see a lot of these rookies, and even some of the vets at this point, like they're very one-dimensional. They're just showing you the same thing over and over again. But like, I think them putting the time to flesh her out, I might have to move her up to the number one rookie to return.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Well, and she continues to get screen time week after week. And we see from other rookie girls, they're non-existent in the edit. And I just think we're getting so much out of her, as you have said. And I look forward to having her back on a future season, no matter when she goes in this one.
Yeah, she's getting the big T edit.
Yeah. It's her, Esther, and Michelle for me as like the top rookies of this season.
Esther's great. I do like Esther a lot.
I like Esther too. Mm-hmm. I love that Esther's hooking up.
Esther's doing everything.
Esther's doing everything. So starting fights, slinging drinks. Oh man, I'm for it all. So we get I'm an Alien, and then Esther and Josh make out at the club, which is a bold move. I mean, because like, you know, I feel like that, like their previous little makeout sesh was kind of like under the radar, and this was just like alcohol is involved. They're like, fuck it, let's fucking put our shit on blast, and everyone's just like, look.
But you know what was a weird confessional here though is Esther then says, no, I need to play with my head, don't leave my emotions out. But she's like saying it in a very cold and calculating way, and then they turn it back to her making out with Josh.
Yeah,
it was like sort of like, is she using it as more so a strategy now and not?
I feel like it. Well, we've learned that the confessionals are done after the fact, like, you know, like they film for 2 days and then they do confessionals for a day. So they're just recapping the previous 2 days. I think she might be in a point now where she's no longer with Josh.
Hmm. Yeah, that's very
and it's easy to say that you should think with your head when you're, you know, no longer involved with your heart.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Makes sense.
It's just like, oh, hey, let me just clear up this edit real quick. you know, everything's a little dirty here right now, but you know, just, we're going to apply a little brush and a little soap and water and we're good.
There you go. There you go. It's all cleaned up.
Yeah.
You know, so, what's not cleaned up is the pizza.
Oh, hold on. Let me make sure. Oh, we also learned that Berna and Esther says no one likes Amber B. And then we have Amber B seductively dancing in front of the camera, which I'm just like, I really love Amber B. She's hot as fuck. So also, for those of you wondering, she's from Germany. And once again, search Reddit and you will find the pictures that you need to see. All right. So after the club, who doesn't love pizza? So,
oh, man.
Yeah. So Tori is the mastermind that says that Fessy ate Amber B's pizza. Now, it looked as though Tori was having a conversation with Corey, and who else was right there? Nelson, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I just know Fessy and Corey were there.
I feel like it was a collaborative effort, and Tori taking the credit. Maybe not.
Yeah, like, she spearheaded it.
Maybe. Oh, I feel she's saying she did. Whereas, it could have just been the three of them saying, you know, wouldn't it be funny if? And then Tori, mm-hmm. And then Tori's like, yeah, so then I said.
Yeah, this whole... Corey was more involved than what we actually saw, because that's what Corey wants to see. You want it fireworks, so does Tori. So I think they were more of a duo in making that happen.
I think so, too. Maybe not. Maybe it's all Tori and I, you know, I'm not here to, I'm just saying it looked like a group conversation, you know, like once again, like getting to wrestling, you know, like, you know, they'll sit creative meetings, like back in the, you know, now it's like, you know, 20 people, but back in the day it would be like Bruce Pritchard, Pat Patterson, and Vince, it'd be three people in a room, you know, and you ask Bruce now, it's just like, you know, who came up with that? It's just like it's three of us talking. Like, I don't, like, you know, maybe one guy said wear a hat and the other guy said put an M on it, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
So, like, it was a collaborative. I feel like that was more of a, after the club, a few people hanging out, just like, hey, you know, and Tori's taking credit for having the stick doing the poking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This whole situation escalated very quickly.
Yes, it did. I was waiting for a trident.
Oh God, dude. I mean, it got bad quick. And it's because alcohol and everyone's tired, it's late at night, and
well, they're bored. They want to see. I mean, like, as I said, I think you piece together through all of this that the house does not like Amber B. So yeah. if there's any way that they can incite Amber B to their own amusement, that's the end game here.
Right. Well, it's like she's already pissed off, and they just see her like, I wanted that Parmesan pizza. I had it out for me. But like looking even further backwards, like go back to episode zero, where I don't know how long they've been in this house, but is Ramadan still happening? Like, I honestly wouldn't be pissed if Fessy ate my pizza, because I'd be like, this dude only gets to eat at night.
Yeah. He can't eat from sun up to sundown.
I'm like, I'd be like Berna. Like, Berna was like, if someone ate my pizza, I would just go find another pizza. Put it in. Even if I'm drunk, I would do that. I'd be like, oh man, enjoy that pizza, man. I'm going to put something else in. You know, mm-hmm. It's like good times. But she was not there for good times. She was there to fucking vent.
Can I note, though, I'm surprised how calm she was with getting a drink thrown in her face, because I think if it would have been any other person that got a drink thrown at them like that, they would have gone apeshit.
I can tell you, right, like, I back in the day, I used to spit in people's face, like, oh my God, so many fucking times. And you got to be like, it's a whole like a good, like, boxer would do like a two lefts and a right, you know, or like, you know, two jabs and an uppercut, you know, it's a combination. So like when you spit in someone's face, like it's like one motion, like you spit. And then you do the bat, like, you know, that first wild swing is coming, and you have to be ready for it. Because if not, like, I assure you, what you know,
I hope you're not proud of spitting. I'm like always like, motherfucker.
No, I loathe myself for that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How many times did you get like punched in the face after that? A lot?
Oh, I remember waking up one time, like what happened is just like, oh, you got punched in the face. Mm-hmm. And the person that punched me in the face told me, like, they were still there. They were like, yeah, we were all laughing. It was great.
Oh, my God.
That I fucking just punched you in the face. And this was a girl. As I said, I'm very ashamed.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good.
Very, like ridiculous. Like, there's a, so, kids.
Don't do that.
Don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Just don't drink. Don't spit. Mm-hmm. Just be a good person.
Just get another pizza.
There's also don't look at anyone weirdly either. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, Big T Z does the. And then Esther throws the drink. And if you know, so when Devin, or when Devin says, you know, don't let Josh anywhere near, so Josh finally shows up. You see Corey attempting to push Fessy into Josh. Did you guys catch that?
Just trying to make them start something.
Well, he's like pushing him into him, thinking that Fessy pushed him.
Hmm. No.
But it didn't take and then Fessy had to stand on furniture for some reason. Then eventually comes down and then just fucking face palms fucking Josh, which
I think's lame. I mean, before that, like, the security came in.
Oh yeah, that's a random occurrence on the challenge.
But I think honestly that Josh was after she got the drink thrown on her. I think when he was just trying to split them up, he was kind of calm. He was trying to make sure things were chilled out. Then Fessy just kept being an ass. And
I think that first push from Corey pushing Fessy into Josh, while it didn't create an immediate throw a punch, it did escalate. Like, I don't know that Josh knew that Corey pushed him. And I just feel that just the tension level went from like 7 to 11.
It was like sort of this thing where like Amanda sort of called it at the beginning of the episode, where she was like, if you guys don't talk, like something is going to happen. And I feel like if they had any type of like actual civil conversation beforehand, even if they were in the shouting match, I don't think Fessy or Josh ever at any point throw hands at each other.
Nope. And I blame Fessy because it was Fessy's fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Why does he always have to apologize for everything?
Because he fucked up.
Do you think that TJ, can we know that he's coming to the house right after this? And it's not a good thing. Do you think he's going to comment on the drink being thrown as well as the punch?
I do.
I don't think so. Mm-mm.
Why? You can't throw drinks in someone's face.
I almost think that the drink thing, in addition to the push thing, would be two reprimandable offenses.
I don't know. We saw last season.
Yeah, I agree with Alex. I don't think they're going to get anything with the drink throwing with this one.
Well, I would be more than happy if next week is just.
Josh versus Fessy, and then Amber versus Esther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
It'd be like, I'm taking the control out of everyone's hands. You four, you're going into the lair. They go to the lair. It's hall brawl time, motherfuckers. And, you know. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice the barbed wire around the hall brawl? Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I noticed. I was just like, shit.
ECW hall brawl.
I get nervous if Fessy's the one in there.
Yeah.
This dude's going to grab that barbed wire and try to poke someone's eye out.
Wrap it around his body and fucking go chest first.
He's going to wrap it around the bat, but then put his hand over it and.
Oh, sweet. That's the best.
They're very WWE-esque.
Yes, right. That's the best way. Matt Bischoff, if you're ever looking to use a barbed wire bat, like that would be a bat wrapped in barbed wire. Mm-hmm. The best way to use it is to take it, put your hand over the end, and then hit someone.
Yeah, don't put a swing into it.
No, no swing. Just a forward thrust with your hand over the end is the most effective way to use a barbed wire wrapped bat.
Well, speaking of barbed wire, totally off subject, but if you Google search this, someone on Instagram, it's these like guys that do Jackass style stunts. They have a trampoline. They took the fucking trampoline part where you jump on off, and they fucking strung tension barbed wire, so it's a barbed wire trampoline.
Oh.
And these motherfuckers are jumping off of ladders and doing like front flips and then landing on their fucking back on the barbed wire and then bouncing up and then totally like landing back, dude, on the barbed wire all caught. It's fucked up. I saw it and I started looking at this guy.
You're following them?
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
I feel like Matt barbed wire trampoline. I feel like Matt would be very into barbed wire death matches.
Oh, no, I think so.
No, I am not.
We got some shit for you to see. Don't worry.
Oh God.
All right. But well, if you would like to see us, as in me, Matt Bischoff, and Lauren, you're going to be there in Louisville, right?
Yes, I'll be there.
Yeah. So next Wednesday night, we will not be live right after this insane episode. That's so crazy. Next week, September 22nd. We are going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. That's right, Louisville, Kentucky at Play Louisville. And we will be watching the premiere of season 41 of Survivor. And here we go. You can get tickets right now at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. There's VIP packages in which you get the VIP meet and greet. You get a Survivor 41 buff or Reality NSFW buff. You also you get to hang with us. There's going to be a ton of people there, some surprise guests. And we are excited. Get your tickets right now at SurvivorTix.com. That'll be next Wednesday night. I think the meet and greet starts at 6:30 maybe, and then 7:30 general admission. Then we'll be watching the show from a 2-hour premiere from 8 to 10. Should be an amazing time. Join us. Get your tickets now at SurvivorTix.com, SurvivorTix.com. As far as the coverage of the challenge, we will be recording that on Thursday at 4:30 p.m. So look for the challenge coverage resume on Thursdays starting next week. So we will be doing every Wednesday night we'll be covering Survivor right after Survivor, and then our challenge coverage will be on Thursdays. So there we go. Hold on. All right. So with that, we will see you guys next week, hopefully live in Louisville. If not, we will see you Thursday. So thank you so much. It is always great. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Matt. And of course, thank you, me. And of course, our sponsors. Here we go.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.